Well, I gave Dan a long introduction this morning, so most of us know him. He's a good guy, and we're glad to have him with us. So over to you, Dan.
I get two. Means I can talk twice as long as usual. If I would have a third one, we could just do the whole night. Who knows? Who knows what I'll need tonight? Might even need a Bible. How are you doing tonight? Good? A couple of you are doing good. The rest of you? Not quite sure how you're doing? Yeah, good. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just from the words of that song, that we can trust in you, that your goodness will lead us home. Lord, over the last couple of years, I've had lots of opportunities to look back over my life and to have seen the goodness of God over and over and over and over again. You've been so good, Lord. You've been so good, and I'm so thankful and so grateful. And Lord, I know that's the testimony of us, of most of us in this room. And I think all of us, if we realize how well you have taken care of us, even in the difficult seasons, even in the difficult times that we all have, that you have been there. You have been there all the way. You have been there all the way. And Lord, I'm just so grateful, so thankful for that. And I just bless you tonight, Lord. Bless you tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm kind of battling with myself as to what I want to share with you tonight. I've got all kinds of thoughts going through my head. But I think I'm going to settle on listening to the Lord. Wouldn't that be kind of interesting if we just stopped and listened to him? Today has been a very interesting day for me, and I'm going to do my very best not to get emotional while I'm talking, but that's pretty difficult. But let me go back a little bit. And some of you remember enough of my story that you remember when, when Bev and I, shortly after we were married, like 6 months, we had two boys that came to live with us. Wasn't a plan. It wasn't, at least it wasn't our plan. And they're Native American boys, and their mother brought them to Los Angeles and had nowhere to go. And we worked at a mission church. And so we had a place for, you know, for the mother, but we didn't really have a place for the boys. You can't really, Doug was 11, Ken was 6. You really don't, you can't really put the boys that age in in a women's dorm, nor you really can't put them in a men's dorm. So my wife and I, we had this little honeymoon cottage. Remember, we'd only been married 6 months. And in this little honeymoon cottage, closet. I mean, there was, of course, a living room and a kitchen, a bedroom and bathroom. But there was also this very large, pretty good sized closet. And it had a window in it. So my wife and I thought, well, we could have the boys stay and, you know, we could put a couple of cots in there. There's only going to be a couple of weeks, and we could put the boys in there and, you know, they would be safe here. And then a couple of weeks, their mother will find something, and that will be all, you know, that'll be good. Well, we had no clue that it would end up being, we would have them the rest of their growing up years. And not in that closet, so don't worry about that. But the rest of their growing up years, they would be with us. They became part of us. They were our family. They were our kids. And then we had our own as well. And so by the time it was all done, we had 6 kids. The 2 oldest boys, the adopted boys, and then 2 boys, and then 2 girls. And so, And many of you, if you've read the book or if you've heard me tell it, the oldest boy was killed 112 years ago now. I mean, a long time ago, not that long. Some of you look like you think that could be true. Yeah, but it was a long time ago. And he was murdered. And that there's a whole story with that of, you know, just how God brought us through that and all that we walked through during that time and how we saw the goodness of God and all those kind of great things. And we look back and realize God's goodness over and over again. God has been so good. And then the youngest of those two boys continued, of course, to be close and so forth until probably about 20 years ago. And he, at that point, he just kind of walked out of our lives. And he had a son and a daughter by then, little ones, but he just kind of walked out of everything and moved from LA to Seattle. And we heard from him very rarely. He became, for a long time, a street alcoholic. I mean, he was in pretty bad shape for a long time. And so we heard nothing for several years at a time. And then we would hear a little bit again from him. And we would think things are going along well. And then suddenly he would disappear again. And I could tell you times where I've gone to Seattle and I've walked the streets looking for him. So there's, you know, all those kind of things happened. And I never did I find him when I did that. But I did it a couple of times and just to look for him and, you know, just wanted to communicate that we loved him and what's going on. But, you know, the years passed and then we'd hear from him again. And so it's been kind of in and out of our lives for over the last 20 years. In the last several years, he's been out again. And then, recently, you know, with all the drinking that he had been doing, that's all changed. It all changed now. But he had gone through a period of just a lot of drinking. And I don't think he did much drug stuff, but the alcohol was pretty severe. And of course, you can imagine what that does to your insides. But in the last two or three years, that began to turn around quite a bit. Well, I was told last night, I got a phone call late in the night last night, that he was in the hospital and that he was, he was in a coma and, he was on a respirator and they did not expect that he was going to live. And that came late last night. And of course, I mean, and my emotions are kind of mixed in that, you know, obviously we love him. He's our son. We feel that way totally, but it has been so messed up for such a long time that it's different. That's all I can say about it. It's different. And, this morning, after the service began, I was sitting over here. And for whatever reason, just as Nick was kind of introducing me, I had this flash, this picture. And it was a picture that was very, very clear of an angel coming into his hospital room and reaching down and lifting him up. And then Nick wrecked the whole thing because he said, "Now, Dan, it's up to you." And so, there was such an incredible sense of peace that came on me at that moment, but it was so vivid and so real. And I heard the Lord say, look at the time. And I thought, so I looked at the clock and the clock was exactly 10:35 right there. And okay, you know. And then this afternoon, late this afternoon, I got a text from my wife and then one from my granddaughter that he passed away this morning. And what was most interesting with it is that it happened exactly at the time I had this picture. It had 8 hours. It was 2:40 a.m. or 2:35 a.m. in Seattle. And it was 10:35 a.m. here. And that was significant to me because it was at that moment that I saw this angel, and it was very clear, and, you know, come in and just kind of lift him up. And I knew when that happened, I thought, oh, you know, two things. One, I knew that he wasn't going to live through this, but I also knew that Jesus was involved here, that somehow God's amazing grace just flooded him. And even though he had walked away and all that kind of thing, God's grace is so much bigger than that. And the fact that there was that clear word that says, look at your phone, see the time. And so I did. And then I didn't ask about the time. When I talked with my granddaughter this afternoon, she just said to me, she said, Ken passed away at 2:35 a.m. And I looked at that, and in my head immediately I began to put together the timing. And I thought, that's 10:35 a.m. here. That's exactly when I looked at my phone after I'd seen this picture. And you know, I battled back and forth, and I said to Nick coming over here, battled back and forth whether I wanted to say anything about that or not. But I really felt as I was sitting here and we were worshiping that I needed to. Maybe it's just me that needed to. But I think that what I want to say is I watched his life. I, you know, he was very, very close to me for a very long time. Traveled with me some. He's been here in England, and I was, of course, today going back over in my head a lot of old memories, and especially times since I was in England, especially times that he was here with me and so forth. And I, lots of funny stories with that. But, so all of that was going over in my head, but I realized in all of that, that the incredible goodness of God, the grace of God. And I wanted to share that because for many of us, the last couple of years have been full of one thing after another, after another, after another. I know a number of pastors that I have known and been close to that died with COVID and all the pain that comes out of that. And there's been so much. I mentioned this morning, you know, my own battle with a form of blood cancer. And again, in case you weren't here, that's fine now, and remission, fine. But I went through all of that during COVID and so forth. And the thing that over and over again kept coming back is how gracious and good God is. Even in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of all of this, God is so gracious and so good. I remember a lot in the last couple of years knowing that Ken was not doing well, thinking, okay, you know, and where's he at spiritually? I couldn't talk to him. A few years back, he didn't respond, and he wasn't responding now at all. So it's like, you know, the feeling of the parent would have of what's spiritually going, what happened, what, you know, all of those kind of feelings. And then coming down this morning to realize the incredible goodness of our God, that God would prepare me. Now, I knew that he was in the hospital and I knew that he was in a coma, but there's this, you know, the constant, you know, the faith that's like, Jesus, you can heal him. You can touch him. And of course he did. Gave him the ultimate healing. And, you know, I realize that there are some people that just, I want to be careful how I say this because I don't want to create a theological problem. There are some people that just don't seem to be able to get their life together. They just don't seem to be able to really consistently walk with the Lord. And, you know, there's always the struggle with that of, you know, of how does God view that and all of those things. But I, you know, in all of this, I guess I can say this, so excited to know that he's with Jesus. and to just that picture again of the angel coming and just picking him up, and when there was nothing more that any of us could do that's not beyond God's touch. And I wanted to share that because I needed to, but also because some of you are facing some huge challenges, maybe not just like that. Maybe it is challenges with people that you love and care about. You're not sure where they are spiritually. And you just don't know. And you don't know if what would happen if they were gone tomorrow. And one of the things I've learned over the years of my life, and especially the last couple of years with the cancer diagnosis and things like this, is that life is very, very fragile. It's very fragile. And that what looks young and happy today can be gone that quick. And of course that, for us, we need to make sure that we know the Lord, walking with Jesus. But at the same time, life is fragile all around us. And, you know, in a way, I hadn't thought about this till now, but in some ways, Ken was a Mephibosheth. Just a mother who was an alcoholic. A father who he never knew his father, never saw his father. And so really from the earliest years of his life, he was dropped and crippled. And he, when he came to live with us, he was 6 years old. And though we thought, he just was our son and he grew up, everything seemed wonderful, but there's a lot of things inside that you don't necessarily know. And those were the things that as he got older became more and more predominant, became more and more out front. It wasn't really until after he was about 18 that everything began to come apart. And so, you don't always know I can remember thinking many times praying we knew that his mother would have a huge impact because he grew up with her those first 6 years. And she was an alcoholic and all that. But we never thought that, father never there. He certainly didn't have any kind of impact on him at all. Well, that's not true. He had huge impact. The very fact that he never was there. The very fact that he walked out when Ken was born had a bigger impact on him than probably anything else in his life. I would say to them constantly, we'll find your father. I think you have a right to know. Let's find your father. But never wanted to. They'd always say, you're our dad and we don't really want, and they never did. They never did look for him, but it still has an impact. You know, we don't always know why people do the things they do. And we don't always know. People react, they respond and to things that have happened in their life. Mephibosheth, as I talked about this morning, I'm sure was full of hurt and bitterness and resentment because of what had happened when he was dropped and crippled. Probably didn't understand what it was all about, but it impacted his life. And people all around us, lives have been impacted by the events of our life, being dropped and crippled. And so I felt like I needed to share that tonight because in a very real way, Ken, that was him. He was a Mephibosheth. And even though we did everything we could, I don't think anybody could have ever loved him more than we did. I don't think his own parents could have. But that didn't make up for the brokenness. That didn't make up for the loss and the rejection that he had to feel from a father that was never there and a mother that, she was a hopeless alcoholic. She later came to Jesus. God turned her life around so all of that was wonderful. But when the boys were little, they would tell stories of going into bars to help get her out because she was so drunk they didn't know what to do. They could tell stories of sleeping in Goodwill bins because they had nowhere else to go. In Seattle, it can be cold in the winter, and they had nowhere else to go. So those were things that were left in them. And even though Jesus heals, there is always that part that we have to play in opening ourselves up for the healing of Jesus. He's always available, but often we let the circumstances of our lives dictate what we do. And so we don't respond because we have all this stuff going on inside and we let the walls be built up. And you know, Jesus is always there. He's always patient. He's always loving. He's always reaching out. But I have to, you have to say yes. And if we don't, he doesn't go away and say, well, tough. He's right there, but he waits for us to say yes. All of us have a free will. We have the right to make our choices. God's bigger than our choices, but we have the right to make those choices. And those choices have huge impact on our lives. And so even though there was a constant grace of God that was there, and they saw incredible things that God had done, that they still had the right to make those choices. But God was still there. And you know, in a way, a lot of Ken's life, I suppose you could say, was kind of hell. But I know that that all turned around this morning. That it all changed this morning because of the incredible love and grace of Jesus. And some of you are struggling with your children. Maybe some of you are struggling with your parents or with other people. In fact, one of the things I'd like us to do tonight, I think this is something the Holy Spirit is stirring, is to call to mind some people that you know that don't know Jesus. And let's begin praying for them. That God will turn their life around. And just believe that he's going to do it. So take a minute with me and just, who are the people that you know? See, again, life is so fragile. It can all be over tomorrow. All be gone tomorrow. And who are the people that you know that you don't know if they know Jesus? You don't know where they are spiritually. But there's something that happens when we begin to pray. And so just call to mind who they are. And maybe it would be good practice for us to begin to write those names down and to start praying for them regularly, believing, you know, that God's going to do something. Family members, children, parents, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, neighbors, that you believe God wants to touch their life. And just begin to believe and pray that God will do it. I noticed this morning when Nick was leading and giving the announcements. Usually there's not too much that happens during announcements. It seems very spiritual. But when Nick was giving the announcements, how often I saw prayer up there and reminded me again that you're a praying people. That's an important thing to you. And so, you know, think and pray and ask the Lord what you need to do with this. But I really want to challenge you to begin to pray for those people that you know that need Jesus. And take this thing very seriously because our life is fragile and we need to pray that God will touch, that God will intervene in their lives. Does that fit? Does that make sense? I wonder if that's not a greater key to evangelism than all the stuff we do in the name of evangelism. Let's pray that God will touch their lives. I want you to stand with me for a minute. And I want you to just call to your mind some of those names. Some of those people that only two or three. You don't need to get extensive right now. But just who are the people that God's putting on your heart? Who are the people that he's reminding you of that need to know him? And regardless of where they are, what they've done, or what their life is like right now, the people that you know and you love and care about that need to know Jesus, just call them to mind. And then I would really like, I don't know if you ever do this or not, but and if you don't, well, just chalk it up to Sneed doesn't know what he's doing half the time anyway. But I'd like you to take a minute and turn to a couple of people and just in that little group pray. Just, you don't need to name, you don't need to put a last name with it if you don't want to, but just name them. You know, George, Tom, whatever names, and just name them and pray that God will touch their lives. And then praying to Lord, show us how to touch them. Show us how to reach out to them. Show us how to touch them right where they are. So take a minute. And are you used to praying together like that? Is that okay? I didn't think it was a new concept, but let's just take a minute and just in small little groups, and name some names of people that you know and care about that need to know Jesus. I remember an old song. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. You don't have to put your earplugs in. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. Have you ever heard that? Oh, good. I'll sing it for you then. No. You'll never want to hear it again, I guarantee. But no, just as we prayed that, Lord, lay some soul, lay someone on my heart and love, not win, but love that soul through me. And so, Lord, do that. Do that. Love them through us. Love them through us. I don't think we even begin to fathom the incredible love of God. I don't think we even begin to get it. We don't know how much God loves people. And I'm more and more convinced that that's the channel of evangelism, is just loving people into the kingdom of God. Just loving them until they can't stand it anymore. Until they can see Jesus. Because his heart is a heart of love. So, another thing I want to just take some time with to pray about tonight. This is different than I had planned it to be. I have a great sermon here. And I mean, it's really good, but you probably won't get to know that right now. But it was really a good one. I mean, it was an amazing one. But I'm just aware that there's some of you that are facing huge challenges that are bigger than you are. And you're kind of in a place where you don't really know what to do with it. It's a big challenge and it's right in front of you and you really need a miracle. You know, I think Jesus still does miracles. Huh? Yes. That was weak. I think Jesus still does miracles.
Yes.
Okay, so much better. I think God could almost hear you when you said that. But I believe that. And there are some of you that are facing challenges that are way beyond your ability. And you need you need Jesus to meet you. You need a miracle. You need something to happen to turn that thing around. Is that anybody here? Yeah, I didn't miss that one by too much. Just hold your hands up again. There's a whole bunch of us. Oh, Jesus, I wasn't expecting this. I was thinking, okay, we'll get around them and pray and that'll be, but now we've got everybody involved here. This is a very needy church. You know, that's the kind of people that Jesus loves, is needy people. And so let's just hold our hands up again. And instead of having people pray with you, I think there's too many of us. And you know, just, Lord, you see the challenges that we face. Some of us are at a place where without a miracle, without you intervening, without you doing something, we're not going to make it through that. It's not going to happen. But Lord, we look at you. We are needy. We need you, Jesus. And Lord, I ask that you will come by the power of your Holy Spirit and that you will work the miraculous in our lives. Give us what we need to push through that situation, to break through that barrier, Lord, to see healing come in Jesus' name, to see the power of your Spirit released in those situations. Work miracles, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Work miracles, I pray, in the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask that you will come back and begin to tell what happened, what you've done when there didn't seem to be a way around it. You worked in that situation. You're the miracle worker, and you touched that situation and things turned around. And Lord, let that become a mark of this body. People see the miraculous power of God. Lives are transformed and they come back to tell about it and give you glory, but also inspire others in what you want to work and do in their lives. So work the miracles that we need in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Those of you that the miracle is physical, you need healing. Can you just stand where you are? It's a healing thing that you need. It's physical, emotional. You need a healing touch tonight. Anybody? Okay. Yes. Others? Yes. Just stand, and now we can just lay our hands on these and just get close enough. Put your hand on their shoulder and let's watch the Holy Spirit do His work and bring healing in the name of Jesus. I want to lead you in prayer, and then I want you just to pray for one another. And expect that as you pray, the Holy Spirit's going to begin to speak through you and giving them encouragement and just strength. Lord, as we lay our hands on each one of these tonight that are physically struggling, they need you to touch their body. They need a physical touch. They're struggling emotionally. They need a touch, Lord. Will you come by the power of your Spirit and bring healing in the name of Jesus? Bring healing in the name of the Lord. Let your Spirit touch them and let healing come in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you are the Lord, our healer. You are the Lord, our healer. And we believe for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bring it in such a way that we'll know, that we'll see clearly this is what Jesus has done in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now just go ahead and pray with them and let the Holy Spirit direct your prayers and speak through you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bring healing in the name of Jesus. Bring healing in the name of Jesus. Bring healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let your healing flow, Lord. Let your healing flow in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Let healing flow. Let healing come in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just while you're praying for a minute, there are times like this I just feel that I need to pray for certain people, and I want to, this young lady standing right here, you just keep your hands on her for a minute. I don't know. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, nothing that I planned happened tonight.
Hi. When Dan asked us to pray, I saw this picture of like the Titanic ship in dry dock. A huge ship like the Titanic. It's in dry dock and it's got all the ropes and everything around it, and it's going to be launched. And in order to launch it, all the ropes have to be cut and the wood has to be pulled out and everything, and then splosh, in it goes. And I felt that our prayers are as effective as the untying of those ropes to launch things. So it wasn't just healing. It was all of the things you'd mentioned previous. But it was really powerful and effective.
Thanks, Michelle. It'd be great, maybe in the days that come, for people to actually just share, you know, the answers to prayer this evening. But Drew and Bola, do you mind if we just sing that song one more time? You alone can rescue, you alone can save. And then we'll all head off for a good night's sleep. Let's stand, shall we? Lord, we're so grateful to you, Lord. Thank you for what you are doing. Jesus, you truly are building your church, Lord. There is nobody else that can build your church except for you, Lord. And we want to not get in the way of what you're doing, but to let you do your thing, your way, Lord. And we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this evening. Thank you for Dan's honesty, Lord. And we just want to pray for him, Father, that you will really touch him, Lord, and give back to him, Father, and bring more healing to him, Lord, Father, and just so refresh him, Lord, in these coming days, Lord. Could he know the closeness of your grace, Lord? But we just want to return thanks and thank you for lending him to us this weekend.